Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am in Las Vegas. All of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends Wise Markets. We will be telling you more about that, telling you more about the Crab Cake Tour that's going to make its way to Costas this Friday. Luke Jones, the Ravens are going to be 0-1 on Friday and Thursday and Saturday, right on up until whatever point that Pat Mahomes gets off the plane next weekend. A rough start to the season in so many ways. We've talked about the injuries and all of that, but a very bad beat in Vegas by the Ravens on Monday night.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you just said it. It's a quick flight, a long flight back to Baltimore, and there's no time to wallow here. There's no time to really dwell on what happened Monday night, because as you just mentioned, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town in a matter of, on a short week. And we know the history there, and we'll talk about that as we get later into the week, starting to focus on week two. But you're staring down the barrel of an 0-2 start now. And we saw what happened over the weekend with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ugly as it may have been, they get the job done in Buffalo. And the Cleveland Browns, while people will, poke fun at them and say the Browns, well, they had a 2-score lead and they couldn't hold it against Kansas City, but they look like a really good football team for large chunks of that game. So we know that this division is not going to be easy. So there is no time to wallow, to have any self-pity, because you know what kind of challenges come in Sunday night. And based on what we saw on Monday night, it's not a whole lot to be confident about. Let's call a spade with an offensive line that was just brutal, specifically at the tackle positions, both Alejandro Villanueva and Ronnie Stanley, for that matter. And a defense that played well early, but as the night went on, just ran out of gas and clearly had their issues to the point where Las Vegas scores on 4 of the last 5 drives. And after halftime, 23 points allowed, 327 yards. They were gassed. They couldn't make any stops. The one stop that they did make was really self-inflicted on the Raiders' part more than anything, as we saw what happened at the end. Just a bizarre, bizarre finish, and really just a disappointing way to begin the season. And some of the things that we talked about over the course of the summer and injuries and question marks, they manifested over the course of a 60-plus minute ball game, and even some things that we weren't necessarily anticipating, like how the defense played as a whole in the second half, wasn't good enough, not nearly good enough. And that's bad news when you're talking about the Chiefs coming to town, a team that the Ravens' recent history against is very well documented.
Well, Luke, I think more than anything, let's talk about the offense, and let's talk about Lamar and throwing the football and what – I don't want to say the identity or the profile. I mean, look, man, they played 4 quarters and a drive, right? Like, they're a running football team. That's what they do. That's what they do well. That's what they've drafted to do. That's what they've spent all this time doing. And we've spent 9 months now. We've had 9 months to talk about what happens when they decide to get pass happy or try to throw the football or look to throw the football or aim to throw the football or get away from running the football, right? And I don't know that they're ever going to pass in that way, and the run still feels like it's always there. I mean, to your point, even when the pocket collapses, Lamar's always good for 8 to 10 yards if he's going to run, right? I think even some of that stuff was taken away because they're making the middle of the field a little messier for him right now. There's enough tape on him.
Well, I mean, I think you're making it way too much about Lamar Jackson, and I continue to go back to this offensive line just playing really poorly. You saw what happened out there. The best thing that happened to them was Yannick Ngakoue leaving the game with an injury. They had no Max Crosby is still pressuring Lamar Jackson hours and hours later. I mean, it's just where we are at this point. I thought Lamar played very well in the first half. 11 of 15, 128 yards, had the beautiful touchdown to Marquise Brown on the scramble. And then he struggled in the third quarter. And to your point, and I will agree with you on this, they were very pass happy to come out in the second half. And I didn't really understand why, because they ran the ball pretty well. It wasn't the best that they've ever run the ball, but halftime stats, 86 yards on 14 carries, 6.1 yards per pop. Tyson Williams carried the ball really well. We saw them have the touchdown on the fourth down, and yeah, they came out in the third quarter, and they seemed determined to get the passing game going, and the pressure was pretty relentless. And then at that point, yeah, Lamar Jackson did struggle and miss some open passes, you know, some that he needed to complete, a couple guys that he didn't see for whatever reason. But, came back in the fourth quarter, made the gorgeous throw to Sammy Watkins. So I agree with your general point. But again, I look at this offensive line, and we talked about this, at the end of last year. John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, the first thing they wanted to talk about when we had them for the offseason press conference or Zoom call was the offensive line needing to get better. Well, they traded away a Pro Bowl right tackle. And yeah, we can talk about the long-term value, but what was the but in that discussion? It was, all right, that's fine. And they end up drafting Odafe Owe, and he could become a Pro Bowl edge rusher one day. Great.
And but he made a big play.
but there's still 2021 to think about. And, well, I'll have to say this. So far, Alejandro Villanueva being your solution at right tackle, that looked like a big loser. I'm not calling him a loser. The decision being a loser based on how badly he struggled. I mean, that was rough to watch. That was as bad of a performance from a right tackle as we've seen in quite some time. And it was a big reason why the Ravens lost the football game. So, you know, we'll get into the defense too, because at the same time, they scored 27 points. You know, if you tell me, you know, my final score prediction was 27-20 Ravens. You know, defense gives up over 30 points. That's not good. So there's plenty of blame to go around, but I continue to come back to the offensive line. And to your point, in terms of talking about what this team does best, yeah, I was a little surprised at times where they seemed to move away from the run. And it's not as though the running game was perfect. And, you know, they had their share of some short runs and some stops that the Raiders were able to make. But I'm with you on that. But in the first half, Lamar Jackson threw the ball well. Third quarter, not so much. And, you know, we haven't talked about it yet. But, of course, the two fumbles, I mean, you can't have that. And he's the first to tell you that. And he said that in his post-game comments. But between that and then Mark Andrews with a big drop late in the game, you know, in overtime, I mean, you just paid the guy $56 million to be a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. And, you know, that's a spot where you need your Pro Bowl caliber tight end to make a catch. And we saw what happened right after that. So just a lot of instances on Monday night. As wild as this game was, and by the way, I joked on Twitter late in the game, and I'll stand by this, ESPN's got to be petitioning the NFL to put the Ravens on Monday Night Football every week. But between this game and the Cleveland game in December last year, just great theater. But Ravens fans don't want to hear about that part of it right now, because definitely one of those where you're licking your wounds a little bit and realizing this football team has a lot to work on in a very short period of time before the Chiefs come to town, and they're trying to avoid an 0-2 start, which isn't a season ender by any means, but we know the history. You fall to 0-2 to start a season, and maybe it's a little bit different with a 17-game schedule. You get a little more time to make it up, but we know that history generally not very favorable in that situation, but a lot of that's because bad teams fall to 0-2, and I'm not saying the Ravens are bad. I still think this is a good football team, but they have a lot to work on and a lot to be disappointed about how Monday night played out.
Luke Jones with us. He will be in Owings Mills all week long in the short week that we're going to have. I am in Las Vegas. If you're watching out on our WNS-TV channel and YouTube, you can see where I got in and I got out, and the game feels like it went on forever to some degree. Let's go back to the offense, and let's talk about these running backs. I know in the post game, it was very, very brief. No one wanted to take questions. You know, pretty typical when you lose this kind of game afterward to say, how was it? But I didn't even know how to spell Latavius Murray, right? Like, I'm trying to figure out, is it taken O or is it an IUS, or is it like St. Louis or Latavius or St. Lucius? They don't even know each other, dude, right? And this is not ideal in any way. And you mentioned Villanueva, you mentioned Ronnie Stanley, you mentioned the fact that the offense never really played together in the preseason, that because of Lamar and COVID, because of the offensive line injuries, Zeitler got a penalty early in the game. And I had to say, it wasn't very loud early in the game. You know, as much as, you know, the people said it's going to be loud, it's going to be this, a lot of empty seats, a lot of people sitting on their hands, a lot of wine and cheese kind of crowd. the vaccine, Luke, and this would be interesting because I ran into Kim Herring outside. We're talking about Clear and you need the Clear identification to get in. Kim Herring works for Clear and, you know, it gets me in. We say, you know what I learned, and this is from JT the Brick, the Latino population that doesn't, in many cases, immigration and all those sort of things, vaccine cards for the registrants. This was a very, very genteel group. My wife paid $205 to sit in the last row of the roof, face value, to get in. This was a Gucci event. This was not the black hole in regard to the amount of noise being made in the place. So Seidler jumps off early. The offense felt and looked, and especially on a timing basis, and I know from what I saw on my timeline, I was not listening to the television broadcast, but the notion that timing in passing, in running, and handing off. Talked to Rod Woodson a lot about that this week at Baltimore Positive. You can go listen to that. A great conversation with Rod just about timing and offense and not playing together and then mixing in injuries, and Tyree Phillips goes down early. And then you start to mix in just the fact that the running back wasn't on the team 5 days ago and he's scoring touchdowns. Maybe they're not supposed to win like this, Luke. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as much as we talked last week about injuries, and maybe it's supposed to be disjointed this early in the year when as much has gone wrong as has gone wrong here.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And that's part of why I, other than the offensive line, and like I said, Villanueva struggling as badly as he did, and I get it. He used to be a left tackle, but we talked about this in passing. We didn't necessarily dwell on it because the Ravens, they clearly had a plan here. You know, they had brought him in and talked to him before the draft. It was clear that they had kind of a plan in mind as far as when they were going to sign him. But we know the Pittsburgh Steelers had a really poor offensive line last year, right? I mean, that was evident by the end of the year and their inability to run the football.
And we know they love Villanueva too. I mean, as a human being.
As a human being, yes. They didn't try to keep him. It was very clear they were done with Alejandro Villanueva. And look, I don't want to just play that game because there have been plenty of times that the Ravens have gotten a player who looked like he was done. I mean, Steve Smith was a perfect example of that. Looked like he was very much on the decline in Carolina the last year or two. Came to Baltimore, was revitalized, injury notwithstanding a second year, but was kind of sort of the old Steve Smith, an older version of him. So we've seen those rejuvenation type stories, those reclamation stories for veteran players. But, you know, that it was just a little bit of a red flag. And I think there was, and I don't want to bury the guy. It's week one. I mean, he could come back and play really well the next couple of weeks. And we're not even talking about the right tackle position anymore. But there is that challenge of that adjustment going from the left to the right side or vice versa. And I famously remember you and I having a live radio show with Marshall Yanda the year that he switched to left guard. And he did it so seamlessly, but he flat out said, it's really tough to do because you feel like you're tying your shoes using the opposite hand placement. I mean, that's just the way it is. Is there room for him to improve and grow, or is this what you're going to see week in and week out? You certainly hope it's the former, because what we saw on Monday night with him just having no answers for Max Crosby, that wasn't good enough. On the flip side, Ronnie Stanley, you give him the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, he's coming off of a major ankle injury, and I think the Raiders got a version of Yannick Ngakoue the Ravens were hoping to get last year, and that just never showed up for whatever reason.
You mean the pissed off one that runs around and looks like the guy who was the young version of himself, right? We didn't see that version of him last year.
No, we didn't. And I mean, we can certainly discuss why. I mean, what was it, a bad scheme fit? Was he miscast? Did they have him? Were they wanting him to do things he wasn't comfortable doing? Who knows? You know, it's probably a combination of things. But
well, he did come in the middle of the flow, too. And you know, as much as we talk about Latavius Murray and other players, coming in the middle of the flow is different. I mean, even for Earl Thomas.
Sure. But the point is, he was blowing by the Ravens' offensive tackles. So, like I said, you're hoping, you exhale. First of all, we know it's a week-to-week league. I mean, look at what the Green Bay Packers are talking about right now. Look at some other team. I mean, Buffalo, a team that was hyped way more than the Ravens in the AFC in the offseason. Look what kind of performance they turned in at home on Sunday. So we've seen these lousy week ones, or in the case of the Ravens, where they look so unbelievable in week one. I mean, we know the previous five season openers, they outscored their opponent 177-26. I mean, just absolutely incredible. But then we see, you know, the next week isn't necessarily that, you know, so it really is a week to week league. Week one is always about overreaction. So I'll tell everyone, I'll remind everyone of that before, you know, you're thinking about canceling your season tickets,
but
selling your season tickets.
Should we overreact? I mean, you know, with the Chiefs coming in, you know, if there's time to overreact, now is 0-1's not good. This is a bad spot for them. It really is.
No question. And when I say overreact, meaning when people are, the season's over, they're terrible, Harbaugh needs to be fired. Yeah, I mean, the stuff that every city that's 0-1 is the kind of stuff that they're saying right now. Because you're emotional, you waited a long time for week one, fans are going to react that way.
By the way, Matt, 8 minutes into the first quarter, I went to the commissary and JT the Brick happened to be sitting in the media lounge. He wanted to bench Derek Carr. He wanted Mariota to play in the first quarter.
Well, you saw the third down run. I mean, that was their, I believe that was their longest run of the night, wasn't it? I mean,
it's a good thing you don't have a radio show in the first quarter of football games. It's all, but you know, and we really are moment to moment, week to week. And right now it sucks for us. And we're going to sit here and talk about all the bad things that happened, but they had the game won with 33 seconds left to go. Literally. Right.
Well, and again, we've spent so much time talking about the offense. That's where the choppiness, inconsistency, issues with the offensive line, you know, some ball security, you know, not necessarily talking about Lamar's two lost fumbles, but all of those things, you know, the running backs, you know, looking good at times, other times not looking so great. But you would have expected all those things. We talked about the wide receivers. I mean, Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins missing so much time over the course of the summer, more so Brown than Watkins, but Watkins missed a couple weeks. That's where I keep taking a step back. And as much as you're frustrated with certain events, certain play, you know, certain series, certain sequences of events, certain individual plays, they scored 27 points. Again, I'll go back to that. You're playing on the road. Everything we just talked about, losing your two best running backs. I mean, J.K. Dobbins was a guy I thought was going to be a Pro Bowl running back, a guy that was going to be heavily involved in the passing game this year. And then you lose Gus Edwards. You know, that guy that the last few years, no matter who's been part of that backfield, he's been that guy that 700 yards, 5 yards a carry. I mean, every year of his NFL career, he's done that. And suddenly you don't have that. So with all of that being in mind, and then we talked about the offensive line, for them to put up what they put up, 27 points, you know, that should be enough, right? You know, you're certainly hoping so. And I know they were missing Marcus Peters, but, you know, you give up nearly 500 yards of offense and 6.1 yards per play. I mean, that's just not good enough. And again, that we kind of talked about it before the Peters injury. We were even saying about the defense. They might need to lean on that side of the ball a little bit more early in the season until the offense gets its sea legs. And for them to play the way they played after halftime, I mean, that was poor. I mean, they were tired. They're missing tackles. You know, guys that they weren't covering in the back end. You know, the blitzes were not getting home. Their pass rush was non-existent, save for, you know, what, the Patrick Queen play and a couple other plays. But, I mean, Derek Carr had time back there. And especially when you're blitzing and you're leaving some of these guys on an island, you know, that's not going to turn out well. And we saw that with the, you know, the big play that Brandon Stevens gives up on the completion to Ruggs on 3rd and 10 that set up the game-tying touchdown to Waller. So that's where, as much as I can point at things about the offense that I'm concerned about, sure. But I kind of expected that. I didn't expect the defense to struggle and play as poorly as it did in the second half of this ball game, and that's what's concerning to me, knowing that now Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are coming to town, and knowing that, well, if you couldn't get to Derek Carr, what makes you think you're going to get to Patrick Mahomes? Because we know how that movie has gone the last few years. And if Darren Waller, who they did a really good job against in the first early on in the game, I mean, look how many times he was targeted and he, what, first 8 targets, I think he had 1 catch for 13 yards, but eventually that gets to be a little more leaky and they started letting him get some free releases off the line. And you saw how that worked, that turned out then. So if he did that, well, what's Travis Kelce going to do? I mean, if you let some of their receivers get free down the field the way we saw it, you know, Bryan Edwards and, you know, Ruggs on that one play. And I mean, what's Tyreek Hill going to do then? So it's really, this is a concerning development, how their defense struggled as much as it did. And we talked about it a little bit. I mean, the Raiders quietly, they didn't have the consistency or the efficiency of a Kansas City or a team like that. But they scored some points last year. They weren't a completely pathetic offense by any stretch of the imagination. A little unbalanced with how much they rely on Waller. If you got a Pro Bowl tight end, you throw to him, right? So they scored points last year. But to just see the defense, especially you get to late in the third quarter, and they just couldn't stop anything at that point in time. So it's where I go back to this, and I picked 27-20 as my final score, and the Ravens scored 27 points. I'm not saying it was a great offensive performance, but they scored points. They moved the ball. They averaged just over 6 yards per play, even though it was disjointed and choppy. But you're kind of expecting that after the summer they had. The defense, and I get it, Marcus Peters wasn't out there, and you didn't have Jimmy Smith out there, but you have a lot of depth in that secondary, and you've made some additions, revamped your pass rush a little bit, and unfortunately, that pass rush was more of the same of what we saw at some times when they've struggled over the last couple of years. It was the same story, blitzing or rushing for not getting to the quarterback nearly enough.
Luke Jones joining us here. He will be in Owings Mills all week. All are brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. Chicken Palooza's over, but I got some chicken last week. I stopped and got some Haagen-Dazs ice cream as well and gassed up at the Rofo. Make sure you're taking care of our friends at Royal Farms. Luke will be out in Owings Mills. We're going to have a game real fast on Sunday. We're doing the turnaround. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills. We're going to be at Costas on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well. If there's any breaking news, you'll receive that as you always do on the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons Ford of Security Boulevard. And Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. And again on Sunday, even though we go Sunday night, got a few extra hours of tailgate time as I get back from Vegas. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We're going to continue on, talk some more defense, some more offense, some more Patrick Mahomes, anything but Orioles baseball, right, Luke? I think. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I am in Vegas, back for more with Luke and some post-game analysis right after this.